The following shiur is recorded, edited, and presented to you by Kol HaLashon. We wish you an enjoyable and meaningful time listening.
So this week is Parshas Bo. But before starting the shiur, I feel so strongly that I must say a few words of introduction. We are at the height of the pandemic in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael, we are at the worst stage, worse than it has ever been in the past year. And it is so sad, so tragic, and so unbelievably sad, because we see the light at the end of the tunnel. More than 2 million people were vaccinated. And we have thousands of new cases every day. And many young people have passed away in the past week or two. Presently, there are 10 young women in various different stages of pregnancy that are critically ill. Their life is in danger, and the babies waiting to be born, chas v'sholom, might never come to be. And this could have been prevented. It could have been prevented. People are dying. Many, many new yesaimim just in the last week, in the last 10 days. And many of us still are in denial. Big chasenes, big bar mitzvahs. So people dance and sing, and others will die because they preferred to dance and sing. This is so tragic. So this week we have our bar mitzvah, my ankle. It is going to be in my backyard. Only immediate family. This is the second bar mitzvah during Corona. And the first one was also only immediate family, very small. So I promised each of my einiklech that became bar mitzvah in this period 1,000 shekel of svarim. More than they would get if they would have a normal bar mitzvah. Just I want the kids to be happy. But life is more important than anything else. And what will we say to our talmidim next time we will learn halachas of pikuach nefesh? And I might ask, did you practice what you preached? Are we chas v'sholem nu'a doyresh v'einay no'a mekayim? So I beg and I plea and I cry to all of you. It is futile. It is senseless. We're almost at the end of this pandemic. Wear masks. Distance yourselves one from another. Have simchas with family. Isn't family more important than anyone else at your chasan, at your bar mitzvah, at your bris? So, in these parshas, we are reading about Golas Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim. She yitkayem banu kol ha-machalo asher samti b'mitzrayim lo yosem olecho ki ani Hashem roifecho. So this week is Parshas Bo, and in Parshas Bo, amongst all the other sigyos and all the other mitzvahs, we learn about Shvisa b'Yom Tov. And today we will be focusing on Yom Tov Sheini shel Golios. We spoke about Hilchas Yom Tov many times in the past, about Erev Tavshilin and related topics. Today, our focus is on Yom Tov Sheini Shel Golios. What is Yom Tov Sheini Shel Golios? Is it a chiyuv or a minhag? Even if it's a minhag, it's still a chiyuv. Twice in Shas, Chazal asked the fundamental question, how do we know that a minhag is binding? Shema b'ni Musar Avicho? Va'al titosh toiras imecho. That's the very first perek of Sefer Mishle, Posuk Ches. And the emphasis is on the Sefer, al titosh toiras imecho. I think that obviously the father is the one that teaches Torah. What is permissible and what is prohibited? What are the mitzvahs saying? What are the mitzvahs lo ta'aseh? It is the mother that teaches her children. How do we conduct our affairs? How does a Jewish home look? What is the spirit and the nefesh of a Jewish home? And therefore, minag is based on al titosh toiras imecho. And many times in this modern world, people come to me and they ask a shayla and they say, Rabbi, we only want to know halacha. Don't tell us anything. Only halacha. And I say, only halacha. Minag is halacha. And halacha includes our mesora. And it's twice in Shas. Menolam de minag miltai al titosh toiras imecho. Yes, minhogim are binding. And the Rambam goes so far as to say, minhogim are included in loitosur mekol asher yagidu lecha. The Rambam in Hilchas Mamrim, and once again in the introduction of the Rambam. So what is Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliyos? In Beit Zedav Dalad Amid Beis, the Gemara asks the fundamental question. In days of yore, there were Mekadosh as a Chodesh al Piriya. So people living in Chutzar, some faraway places, didn't know when the Beis Din and Eitz HaSol was Mekadosh the Chodesh, when is the Chodesh. So it was a necessity. Because they had a Suffolk, they held 2 days. Well, they didn't have WhatsApp, they didn't have SMS, they didn't have email, they didn't even have phones. So how would they know when the Beis Din and Eitz HaSol Mekadosh is a Chodesh? So, being in doubt, they needed to hold 2 days. The Gemara asks, today we have a luach, we have a calendar. We no longer have a Mekadosh al Piriya, so why do we hold 2 days? He's haru b'minig avisechem b'yadeichem. And this lesson seems to indicate it's a minig. Hizaru b'minig avisechem b'yadeichem. But Rashi on the spot, in Beit Zedav Daradam, in Beit Rashi writes, choyk kavua mitkones chachamim. Is that a contradiction? Not at all. It was the Chachamim that were asked, why do we keep 2 days? And it is the Chachamim that said, Hizharu b'minig avisechem b'yadeichem. Yes. Essentially, it's a minag, but it's a minag that Chachamim were metaken. Hizharu b'minig avisechem b'yadeichem. And this is also obvious in the Rambam. So I want to read together with you 3 halachas in Rambam. Number 1 is Perek Vav Melechus Yom Tov Halacha Yudaled. And I'm reading the Rambam. Kol ha'dvarim ha'ele shamanu ayu bizman shehayu beis din shel Eitz HaSol mekadshin al pi ariya. V'hayu b'nei ha'goyla oisin shnei yomim kedei lehistalek min ha'safek lefi shelo hayu yodim. Yoim shekidshu b'nei Eretz Yisrael. Aval hayom shebnei Eretz Yisrael soim chamal ha'cheshboin u'mekadshin olav, ein yom tov sheni lehistalek min ha'safek ela minhag Bilvad. Yom Tov Sheni is no longer l'stalak min ha'safek. It is only a minhag. Minhag? How about the Rambam Perkei Halacha Hei of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh? Bizman hazeh she'ein sham Sanhedrin ve'beisin shel Eretz Yisrael koivim al cheshbon ze. Hayam al hadin shehu bekol ha'makoyim esoisim yom tov echod bilvad. Afilo makoyim esarechoikim shebechutz la'aretz kamo b'nei Eretz Yisrael. Shehakol על חשבון אחד, סומכים וקובעים. אבל, תקונס חכמים היא, שיזהרו במנהג אביסיהם שבידיהם. Exactly the way I explained Rashi. תקונס חכמים היא, שיזהרו במנהג אביסיהם שבידיהם. And once again, פרק א', הלוך החוף א', הלכס יום טף. זה שאנו עושים בחוץ לארץ, כל יום טוב מאלו שני יומים מנהגו, ויום טוב שני מדברי סופרים הוא. מנהגו, ויום טוב שני מדברי סופרים הוא. Is that the takana or a minag? It is both. The takana is that we adhere to the minag. So that's the basic idea of Yom Tev Sheini Shel Goliyos. And I want to bring another precedent, another source. Minag that becomes halacha. Nida Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Benois is all achmir ol atzman, afiru lo yis tipas dam kechad li yoish es shivo nikiyim. This lotion indicates it is a minag. Benois is all achmir ol atzman, but ambrochas lamad aleph omad aleph on the Gemara says, ein oimdim lehispar el eile metoich aloha psuke. And Chazal give several different examples. What is aloha psuke? One of them is, Benois Yisrael, tipes dam kechad el yois v'shevenekiyim. Is it a minig or aloha psuke? It is both. Essentially a minig. A minig that becomes halacha. I think there's a difference between these two examples. Yom Tev Sheni Shegolias on one hand, and Shevenekiyim benid on the other. When Chazal say, Ezarek b'minig avisechem shebeidechem b'yom Tev Sheni Shegolias, Minag avisechem wasn't a minag. Minag avisechem was aloha, because in those days, Yom Tev Sheni was lehistalek min hasofik. It was a sveika diuraisa. Al pi aloha, they needed to keep 2 days. V'nois yisor lachmiru al atzmam, this entire idea was a minag, but it is a minag that evolves into aloha. And that could happen in 2 different ways. Maybe at some stage, Chachamim were metaken. This minig is so important, and it makes so much sense. It is as if B'nai Yisrael had Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, and therefore Chachamim were metaken, that they need to hold Shiva Nekiyim. Or maybe, Tshuvas Marshal Semen Vav. And the Mashal is quoted by the Shachin Reish Yudalad Yoredei Asif Kondalad, and by the Pri Chodesh in Orachayim Tov Tzadik Vav. The Marshal says, Kol Minag Shenes Pashet B'Kol Beis Yisroel has the essence of Dova Shenesa B'Minyan, like at the Konos Chachomim. The Rashal differentiates between local Minhogim, a minig of a family, a minig of a city, a minig of a tribe. Minig shenes pashet b'kol Yisrael is the same level as the takonas chachomim, and maybe that is why. B'nois yisor lachmir wal atzmam, but that has the harshness, the validity of a takonas chachomim, and it becomes halacha psuk. Coming back to Yom Tev Sheni Shel Goliyos. So I explained Rashi and the Rambam. It is both a minig and a halacha. A takana. It's quite clear in the Rambam. In the 3 sources that I brought from the Rambam. And it's Rashi, because the Gemara says, Zara minig of Zechem. And Rashi writes, takana schachamim. But I still think it's a machloikas in Rishonim, and there are 2 different approaches. So there's a big machloikis between the Rishonim. Do we say a brocha on a minhag? Machloikis, Rambam and Tosfos, Bnei Ashkenaz and Bnei Sfarad. The Rambam in Hilchos Brochos clearly says we don't say a brocha on a minhag, and that is why we don't say a brocha on Halal Beresh Chodesh. Halal Beresh Chodesh is only a minhag, and that's why we don't say Halal Sholem. Ki mevor bebrochos daf yudalet. And Tosfos in Brochos daf yudalet maintains we do say halal with a brocha on Rosh Chodesh. According to Tosfos, we say a brocha on a minag. And a Tovchov Beis, it's a machlokes Beis Yosef and Ramo. The Beis Yosef, as always, follows in the footsteps of the Rambam. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, we don't say a brocha on halal by Rosh Chodesh. The Ramo adheres to Gedolei Ashkenaz, Rashi and Bari and Tosfos. The Ramo says we do say halal with a brocha on Rosh Chodesh. Svaradim don't say, and Ashkenazim do. There are 2 Hasidic dynasties that don't say a brocha on halal b'Rosh Chodesh in Eretz Yisrael, Slonim and Karlin. Why is that? They're not Sfardim. They're purely Ashkenazim. Most Hasidic Chatzeres established themselves in Eretz Yisrael after the Holocaust. Slonim and Karlin were the first two Hasidic groups that came to Eretz Yisrael more than 100 years ago. And when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they took upon themselves Minag Eretz Yisrael, and the Bis Yosef reigned supreme, Morad Arad Yisrael. And that is why Slonim and Karlin don't say a brocha and halal b'resh chodesh. So Tosfos and Sukkah Mem Daled Amud Beis wants to prove that we do say a brocha and a minag, because we say kiddush leil yom tov sheni shel galuyos. It's only a minag. So how do we say kiddush? Tosfos is doicha. Tosfos rejects this argument, and Tosfos says the problem of saying a brocha and a minag is only how could we say vitzivonu if it's not a tzivui. But in kiddush you don't say vitzivonu. Kiddush is berachas hashevach. It's not berachas hamitzvah. So we don't have that problem. So obviously Tosfos maintains Yom Tov Shem Shigolos is a minag. And that is why Tosfos argues, does this prove that we say a brocha and a minag? The Ran totally rejects Tosfos, and he has a gewaldige kasha on Tosfos. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos, second Seder night, we say Asher Kadoshonu b'mitzvos Vitzivonu al achilas matzah, al achilas moror, so we do say Vitzivonu. And this is Berachas HaMitzvah. It's not Kiddush. So the Ran says, Kushim mi'ikora leisa, because Yom Tov Sheni is not a minig, it's a takana. So what is clear, Tosfos maintains it's a minig, the Ram maintains it's a takana. Ramban, Shabbos Chof Gimel. When the Gemara asks regarding Ner Chanukah, Eichen Tzivonu, Meloisa Asur. The Ramban says, and how about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos? It's only a minag. The Ramban says, no, it's not a minig, it's a takana. Shabbos Chof Gimel, Ritva Rosh Hashanah Chof Ches. So the Ramban, the Ritva, Ran, say it's a takana. Tosfos maintains it's a minig, Sukkah Mem Daled. And Apsochem Dafnun, you find the same in Balamoa and in the Ravad. They also maintain Yom Tov Sheni is a minhag. So we do have a machloikis rishonim. But nevertheless, I say what I mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, even if it is a minhag, it still is a chiyuv. Al titosh toiras imecho. There's a gewaldige svara from the Briskarov. And to me, it's so appealing. It's so gishmak. As always, the Briskarov style. So the Ran asks, according to Tosfos, we don't say a brocha and a minag. So how about matzah and moror, second night of Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach? How do we say a brocha? It's a minag. So the Briskarov says, why does Tosfos and the Ramo maintain we don't say a brocha and a minag? Is it because minag is not that binding? No. The Rambam says minig is loyta asur. And don't we learn a Shabbos daf chav gimel hechen tzivonu meloyta asur? The Rambam in Hilchas Mavrim says minhogam are included in loyta asur. So anything that comes from brisk has to do with gavra and cheftza. So the Briskarov explains. The cheftza of a minig is not the cheftza of a mitzvah. The problem isn't with the word vitzivanu. The problem is, asher kiddushono b'mitzvotav vitzivonu. A mitzvah is a mitzvah and a minag is a minag. Minag is binding. Minhoga might even be included in loisosur. It definitely is altitosh toris emecho. But in essence, it's not the same concept as a mitzvah. Mitzvahs are mitzvahs, and minhogam are minhogam. And we don't say a brocha menhogim. So the Briskarov argues, matzah and moror are mitzvahs. However, they're not mitzvahs only on Pesach. First, not Pesach. Matzah on Purim is not a mitzvah. Moror on Rosh Hashanah is not a mitzvah. But once we have the minag of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos, matzah and moror are cheftze shel mitzvah. Halal Rosh Chodesh is not a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. It's like Matzah Rosh Hashanah, like Moror Purim, because Rosh Hashanah is not a Yom Tov. Beyond that, it's not Halal Sholem. So it can be a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. It's only Chotzi Halal. And that is why, according to Tosfos, we don't say a Brocha. But Matzah, the second night, is the same as the first night. It's the same Chefetz Shel Mitzvah. Yom Tov Sheni is the Golus. Yom Tov Sheni Shegolis is the Minag. But once we have Yom Tov Sheni Shegolis, Matzah Morar Chefetz Shel Mitzvah, therefore we say a Brocha. This Brosk Biskarov to me is very appealing. Let's get back to Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golis. So some Rishonim maintain it's a minig, others maintain it's a chiyuv derabbanan. Rashi and the Rambam combine the both. 150 years ago, there was a huge machloikis in Brod. Brod was one of the choshevste kehillas in Galicia. The Rav in the city of Brod at the time was the Yad HaMelech. Rabbi Elozar Landau was a grandson of the Noidi B'Yehuda. Reb Shloime Kluger was the Magid Meishorim. Interesting. Because the Yad HaMelech wasn't a great poisik, Lecha Oira. He didn't write Shalas HaTshuvas. I'm not even aware that there are Tshuvas from the Yad HaMelech in the Svarim of his contemporaries. Very few. I do not recall any Tshuvas from the Yad HaMelech. But he did write Yad HaMelech on Rambam, which is a purely Lamdisha Sefer. If it would be up to me, I would make Reb Shloime Kluger the Rav, because he was Poisek Gadol, and I would appoint the Yad HaMelech as the Rosh Hashiva. But it wasn't the way it was. So the Yad HaMelech was the Rav, Reb Shloime Kluger was the Magid. And Reb Shloime Kluger disputed and disagreed with many psokim of the Yad HaMelech. He even wrote a sefer called Shivo Einayim, which is a compilation of all the psokim of the Yad HaMelech, which Reb Shloime Kluger rejected. And because Reb Shloime Kluger was much younger than the Yad HaMelech, whenever he disagreed with the Rav, he turned to the Gedolim, and usually all the Gedolim, the elderly Gedolim, agreed with Reb Shloime Kluger, which is just a historic fact. Masa shehoyo kachoyo, there was a shechiv mara, a person desperately ill, and he was dying. And he was worried about his wife, because they had no children. And he had a brother living in a far away America. And he was afraid that if he dies, and he doesn't give a get to his wife, she will never be able to get married again. Because he doubted that his brother would give chalitza. So he was desperate to give her a get. And it was Yom Tov Sheni. And the Yad HaMelech said, Yom Tov Sheni Shegoli says only a minag. So he was matter to write a get and give the get on Yom Tov Sheni Shegolis. And Reb Shloime Kluger was furious about that psak. And he turned to the Chasam Sofer. Tshuvas Chasam Sofer, Kuf Mem Hei Or Chaim. We find the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer agrees with Reb Shloime Kluger, and he says that psak is not correct. But what is significant to this tshuva, the Chasam Sofer writes, even if Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias is a minag, but it's like a kabbalah ledvar mitzvah, and it becomes a neder, and there's lo yachel devoroi menatoira. The bal yachel is menatoira, even though Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias is medarabonon. And many achronim disagree with the Chasam Sofer, and achronim, it's against the gemara mefureshes ledorim tazvav. Mitzvah derabbanan is only bal yachel derabbanan. A mitzvah derabbanan cannot become a neder d'oraisa. The Marsham, Sefer Das Torah Hilchos Shechita Yoreh De'esem Achov Gimel, and the Levushei Mordechai, one of the greatest Hungarian poskim before the Holocaust, Reb Mordechai Winkler, he was the Rav in Mad, both disagree with the Chasam Sofer, and they say, even if we would say Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golis is a mitzvah derabbanan, not only a minag, a mitzvah derabbanan is only a neder derabbanan. A mitzvah derabbanan cannot become a neder d'oraisa. But the Chasam Sofer writes differently. And this brings us back to the Maharshal. So the Maharshal says, a minag shekiblu kol Yisrael is harsher than other minhagim. It is a chiyuv derabbanan. So this was a controversy regarding a psak of the Yad HaMelech. So what is Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliyos? According to some Rishonim, a minag. According to others, a takana. Even if it's a minag, it has chumri yeseira. Not only al tito ishtoiras imecho, according to the Chasam Sofer Bad Yachal, according to everyone, it has the status and the chumra of a chiyuv derabbanon. Now I want to share with you two psakim. I know many rabbanim and chasher rabbanim disagree with me, but this is my opinion. And I've given these psukim for years and years, and I know hundreds of people follow these psukim, and I feel quite confident. So let me share with you two psukim halacha lemaisa, which are very relevant regarding Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliyos lebnei chutz laretz. So as a fundamental introduction, some gedolim pasken that there is no such a thing as Shnei Yom Tov Shel Goliyos in Eretz Yisrael. There is no such a thing. And even chutznikim visiting Eretz Yisrael only have one day. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliyos is exclusively for Bnei HaGoylo. Someone comes to Eretz Yisrael, even if Dato Ilachzor, one day. Ein Halocha Kemoisam, and I want to make this very clear. When the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are on the same page, Yosef HaTzadik and Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Noise Kalim, Aroin Vachur, Toim Chimbiyodoy, Mezeh Echod, Umezeh Echod, and I mean the Taz and the Mogan Avraham agree, that is Halacha. V'kol Aruchas Shebiyoylim Lo Yazisu Otam Mim Komam. However, the dissenting view that there is no Shnei Yom Tov Shel Goliyos in Eretz Yisrael is not a Das Yochid. It's not an esoteric opinion that we find in some strange sefer. Chacham Tzvi, Rabbi Yankov Emden, his great son, Shilas Yavetz, Shoyle Meishev, Rabbi Yosef Shol Natanzon, and a few tshuvas agrees with his grandfather, the Chacham Tzvi. Shulchan Aruch HaRav, one of the greatest poiskim, ledoiroi veledoiris oilom, the Avnei Nezer, Reb David Karlino in She'ilas David. I just mentioned six. And I mentioned these six names because each of them was a giant. Each of them was one of the greatest halachic authorities of his time. V'afal piken ein halachic emoisim. Let me make this very clear. Because the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah reign supreme. And the Mogen Avraham and the Taz. What I mean to say is, Chaz yele itzterufa memokim sofik. So psak number one. There are hundreds, maybe thousands of young couples, chutznikim, both husband and wife are from America, from Europe, but they live a few years in Eretz Yisrael. And this is very, very common in our day and age. Young couples feel the right place to be right after the chasen is learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael, Avira di Eretz Yisrael, Machkim. Most of them plan ultimately to go back to Chutz Laretz. Many of them are smuchan al shulchan horeim, and the parents are not willing to support them all their lives in Eretz Yisrael. And
Kol Halashon.
My psak is, if they're here for a few years, one day, not 2 days, and that is not defined as Da'atoy Lachzor. Da'atoy Lachzor is when you have a fixed date. Now, many times I apologize, and many of you might tell me them, no. That in halacha, usually there are no fixed dates or numbers. So I can't tell you exactly how much time does the young couple need to live in Eretz Yisrael or plan to live in Eretz Yisrael. They should hold one day. I can't say. Is it 23 months or 24 months or 25 months? 1 year? 2, 3, 4, 5? And when I say if you don't have a fixed date, I don't mean you need to have a fixed date. The 15th of January. Chof Dalet Sivan, no. I mean, as long as it's open, even though basically your plan is at some stage to go back to Chutz Laretz. but you're here for years, and you don't know exactly when you'll be going to go back, going back, then you hold one day. The source of this question is in Shuvas HaRadbaz. Shuvas HaRadbaz, Chelek Dalet Semen Ayin Gimel. The Radbaz doesn't deal with the chutzner coming to Eretz Yisrael, but the other way around. Many Eretz Yisrael that go to Eretz Mitzrayim. Egypt was a huge Jewish center in those days. Cairo, but primarily Alexandria. In the days of Chazal, Alexandria was a huge Jewish center. The Radbaz was the chief rabbi of Egypt, of Mitzrayim. And he deals with people that moved from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim. And they want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. But nevertheless, the Radbaz says, as long as they live in Mitzrayim, they have all the dinim of Ben Chutz La'aretz. Not only Lechumre, Lechumre Velekule. And I'm quoting one line from the Radbaz, even though the Radbaz writes it at greater length. Im ein da'atum lachzor, o she'okru dirosam legamre, then they have a din of B'nai Chutz La'aretz. So what is this dual language? Ein da'atum lachzor, o she'okru diratam legamre. Obviously, okru dirosam legamre, afal pi she'da'atum lachzor. So there seem to be two different interpretations of the Radbaz and Simen Tov Tzadik Vav, the Or HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah. The Or HaShulchan's understanding is, Okru Derosam Lagamre means they live here. And it's not essentially very temporary. That the Lachzer is, you didn't give up your apartment in Chutz La'aretz. You didn't give up your apartment back there. You have your house there, and you're renting here, and you plan to go back to your other home. And they no longer have a home in the point of departure. They only have one home here. That is Okru Dirosam Lagamre, and they hold 2 days. If they're in Chutz La'aretz, 1 day if they're in Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah Berurah, when he brings the Radbaz, and that is in Sif Kotn Yud Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah writes, because we assume that if they find a decent parnosa in Mitzrayim, Eino Izaz Misham, they won't be going back towards the soil. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, if it is clear that they will be going back there, then they need to hold 2 days in Eretz Yisrael. Because the reasoning of the Radbaz is, if they find a panosa, they'll stay put. But these couples plan to go back. I think the Or HaShulchan is far more reasonable and misyashev b'loshen haRadbaz. Okru dirosam legamri. The Radbaz doesn't say, what is their ultimate plan? What he writes is, imein datam lachzar, oh! I think Okru Dirosam Lagamre means they have nowhere to go back to. They don't have a home waiting for them. They live here, lock, stock, and barrel. Everything they have is here, not there. That is Okru Dirosam Lagamre. And in that case, they have a din of Bnei Hamakoim. So this is one of the popular questions today. Who is the greater Poisek? Or HaShulchan or Mishnah Berurah? And I am extremely annoyed when this comes up. Both were great halachic authorities. So in our day and age, most Bnei Torah adhere to the Psukim of the Mishnah Berurah. And that's great. Sometimes I hear people saying, why was the Mishnah Berurah zeicha to be the Poisek Achrayim? Because of the tzidkus. The Mishnah Berurah was a tzaddik yisod olam. But the Mishnah Berurah has this awesome authority, not just because of his tzidkus, but because of his godless. It's an amazing sefer. The yashrus of the Mishnah Berurah is phenomenal. Dvorav kilurin le'enayim bekol mokoim. As straight as an arrow. Yashris muflo'o. Arab Chaim Volozhin writes, Kol chachmi yisur lo'y nishtapcho ela b'yoyshir svarosom. Hayoshem echaveroi, godel hemeno. So the Mishnah Berurah is a giant. But so is the Oruch HaShulchan. And each of them was a giant in his own merit. The Oruch HaShulchan was known as one of the great poskim of his generation. He wrote many tshuvas. The Oruch HaShulchan is on Dalat Chalke Shulchan Aruch. The Chofetz Chaim didn't write tshuvas. And we know nothing of his Torah and Yoredeya v'Nezach HaShemishpat. That doesn't diminish his greatness. But the comparison is not a sensible comparison. Both were great gedolim. Regarding the Radbaz, I think the Oruch HaShulchan is far more reasonable. But I wouldn't dare to go against the Mishnah Berurah. I think the Mishnah Berurah would agree in our case, one day. What does the Mishnah Berurah write? If they will find a decent parnosa, they'll probably stay there. Most of these young couples very much would wish to stay in Eretz Yisrael. They would love it. Most of them are dependent on their parents. So the parents will dictate. We're not willing to support you all your life. You got to come home at some stage. But it is quite common if the younger man finds a shtela in Eretz Yisrael, if the young wife finds a good job in Eretz Yisrael, many of them stay in Eretz Yisrael and their parents are happy about it. And therefore, I think, in most cases, even according to the Mishnah Berurah, a young couple that lives for years in Eretz Yisrael and they don't have a designated time when exactly they'll be going back, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, they just go with the flow and wait. They want to be here as long as the parents will let them. They want to be here as long as possible. And some of them ultimately will stay here. It is exactly what the Mishnah Berurah describes. Vishitas HaRadbaz. If they'll find a decent panosa, they'll stay there. And therefore, they have a minig of b'nei, they have the luch of b'nei amokim. And that's why I paskin. If a young couple comes for a year and he knows when the year is up, he's going back 2 days. But if he's here indefinitely, vaguely, basically, they do plan to go back. But they're here for an indefinite period, and they would like to stay here, in principle, then one day they have a din of Bnei Eretz Yisrael kol davar. My other psak regards people that are somewhat older than the young couples. And in our age of abundance, this is very, very common. Some people have a house in Eretz Yisrael, they have a house in America. Part of the year they're here, part of the year they're there. So what din do they have when they're in Eretz Yisrael in their own homes, 1 day or 2 days? And I say, once upon a time in days of yore, there was no such a thing that a person lives in two different places. Either he lives here and he visits there, or he lives there and he visits here. But with the unbelievable advance of communications and transportation, we're living in a different world. Why is transportation relevant? Because once to come from Medina Sayom to Eretz Yisrael, you sat on the back of a camel or on the boat of a ship that might get there, might not get there. And it took weeks, sometimes months, to travel from Chutz L'Aretz to Eretz Yisrael and back. So obviously, there was no such a thing. You live in two places. Today, you hop on a plane, and 3 hours, 4 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, you're here, and you're back in half a day. So who says we need to decide, are you a Ben Etzel Otzel or a Ben Chutz L'Aretz? You could be both. So what is the definition, and on what does it depend? Four different criteria, that's the way I see it. And these are not halachic criteria, but more practical criteria. But they define halacha. And I say, what characterizes a person's place of living? Where does he live? If a person has a home, his own home in Eretz Yisrael, maybe he lives here. If he comes to Eretz Yisrael even 10 times a year and he spends a few months, but he stays in hotels, every time in a different hotel room, then he's a visitor. Because fundamentally, people like to live in a home. Most people in Eretz Yisrael own a house. Many people in America don't own their homes, but they rent. But their lease is a long-term lease, and they live in the same home for 10 years, for 20 years, for decades. They furnish the home. All their personal possessions that give a person a feel of a home are theirs. They don't go to in a hotel room and look around. The pictures on the walls are their family pictures. Everything is familiar. So criteria number one, you have your own home in Eretz Yisrael. Criteria number two, you stay in Eretz Yisrael longer than the average tourist does. Not a week or 2 weeks or 10 days or 3 weeks. Anywhere between 2 and 3 and 4 months. That is no longer the custom of a visitor. Tourists usually stay 2 weeks, 3 weeks maximum, 4 weeks. So my second criteria is, you're here for an extended period. Doesn't need to be more than 6 months. The Imre Emes, the great Gerer Rebbe, before the Holocaust, planned to buy a home in Eretz Yisrael and stay here a few part of the year and stay there with the Chassidim in Poland. And he turned to the Velvel Minsberg. Shalas Achuva She'eres Yisroel, we find a Achuva to the Gerer Rebbe. And the Gerer Rebbe inquired, ultimately, when I will, Baruch Hashem, have my own house in Eretz Yisrael, my own home, and I will be staying part of the year in Eretz Yisrael, will I hold 1 day or 2 days? And Rav Minsberg said, depends where you're going to be more time. More time there or more time here. And I say it doesn't depend more time. Because Rav Velvel Minsberg also assumed, where do you live, there or here? If you live more time there, then you live there and you visit here. If you're more time in Eretz Yisrael, you live here and you visit there. But I say, I live here and I live there. So it doesn't depend where I am more. Number one, you have your own home. Number two, you're here a longer period than the average tourist. Number three, you don't have kids in elementary school. Because obviously you live where your family is. And if your children go to elementary school and they need to be there, it is unreasonable that a person's wife and children live there and he lives here unless he gives a divorce. You live where your family is. But if you no longer have little children, you're married off your children, or even have your bigger kids, but they're not at home, they're in dormitory, they're in yeshiva. You don't have kids in elementary school, that's criteria number three. Number four. Your panasa doesn't necessitate you to be there. You don't work in a factory, or you don't have an office job in which you need to punch a card every day and prove that you're there. You're not a Rebbe in a cheder or a magachi in a yeshiva, which necessitates you be with your talmidim. Your business is in your phone that you hold in your hand. Sham beisoy, Shmuel Anavi. Your business is in your phone. I know so many people that live in Eretz Yisrael, they work in America. Investments, investors, people that are in counseling, Eitzegebers, as we call them in Yiddish. I know doctors that live in Eretz Yisrael, and they service medical institutions and patients in Chutz La'aretz, and all the consultations are by video conferencing, by Zoom. Sometimes Zoom isn't clear enough, isn't reliable enough. So if you don't need to be on the floor in your job, you don't have kids in elementary school, you have your own house in Eretz Yisrael, and you're here 2 or 3 or 4 months a year, when you're here, you live in Eretz Yisrael. The basic concept that a person could live in two places I have a source that goes back 500 years. Shalas etshuvas marit tzahalon. Maritatz. Simen Tzadik Beis. Don't fall off your seats when I'll tell you the story he is dealing with. So there was a person that had one house in Eretz Yisrael and one house in Turkey. Part of the year he was in his house in Eretz Yisrael and part of the year in Turkey. He also had two wives, one wife in Eretz Yisrael and one wife in Turkey. So his Turkish wife was waiting for him to come there. His Eretz Yisraelic wife longed for him in Eretz Yisrael. He spent some time, a few months a year, in his home with his wife in Turkey, and some part of the year with his wife in his home in Eretz Yisrael. And the Merit Zalan was asked, 1 day or 2 days? And he writes, when he's in Eretz Yisrael, 1 day, when he's in Chutz Lars, 2 days. Obviously, he was a Sephardi, because Ashkenazim had Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom 500 years ago. So what we learn from this tshuva is, not always do we need to decide, does he live there or live here? He lives here and he lives there. He has a house and a wife in Turkey, another wife and another house in Eretz Yisrael. Would that be only because he had two wives? I say no. What's the difference? He has one wife. But when he's here, she's Turkish, and when she's there, she's in Eretz Yisrael. Why would that make a difference? His wife comes along with him. Yes. If his wife never comes along with him, and he comes on his own, then he doesn't live here. As I said before, you live where your family lives. But if he comes with his wife, so why would he need two wives? Why wouldn't one be enough? So those are my criteria. And that's my psak. Many disagree. But I am thoroughly convinced, and I feel very confident in giving this psak. And many people, that's their minag. So on one hand, I am not mekel in yom tev sheni shel goliyos. But I do say, the shit of the Chacham Tzvi, which many gedolim follow, chazia leitzterufei, and therefore, in these two scenarios that I described, I paskin 1 day. So I think this is a very important, a very interesting shiur. We started off with a fundamental concept of Shnei Yom Tovim Shel Goliyos, and then we went into some interesting questions at Ochar HaMais. And a Parshas Bo, I always come back to the Ramban at the end of the Parsha. And the Ramban explains, why is it so important to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim? So many mitzvahs are all Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, Sholosh Regolim, Shabbos. All the various mitzvahs associated with Bchora. Bchor Odom, Bchor Behemet Tohera, Bchor Behemet Tomeya. All of them are Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. So why is it so important that we forever remember Yetzias Mitzrayim? I quote the Ramban. Everything that occurs, everything that happens, they are all miracles. There is no nature and there is no incidental happenings. There is no nature. Ein behem teva. The Ramban wasn't a batlan. The Ramban was a giant amongst giants. He towered above all the others and he was an ish eshkoilus. Commentator. Poisek, leader, Mekubal, philosopher, the Rambam was everything. And his contemporary was the Rambam. The Rambam definitely wasn't a batlan. One of the greatest physicians of his age, the greatest Jewish philosopher ever. The Moreh Nevuchim is the Mishneh Torah, the very first codifier of Torah Hashem. And the Rambam, in the very first of the 13 Yesoidus, Yud Gimel Ikrei Emuno, wasn't formulated by the Rambam, the short version that we have in the Sidurim. We don't know who formulated that, but it definitely is loyal to the Rambam. And the Rambam expounds the Yud Gimel Ikrim and the last Perek of Mesechet Sanhedrin and Perek and Mishnah. Ani ma'amin bi'amun shalei mesha bo'ri es bo'ach shamay hu bo'ri v'manig lekol abruim v'hu levadai osa v'oysa v'yase lekol ha'asim. Bo'ri v'manig, he is the creator and he is the mover. He makes everything happen. And he guides the world as it moves forward. Bore umanig. The Ramban also uses dual language, called Dvoreinu veMikreinu, Ein behem teva veMenhogoi shel Olam. I think both the Ramban and both the Rambam refer to the laws of nature, the fundamental laws of nature. Biology, zoology, chemistry, physics, astronomy, everything. Hydrodynamics, astrophysics, everything. But they also refer to the course of history. Bore v'manig, dvareinu v'mikreinu, en behem teva v'menhogoi shel olam. What? There are no laws of nature? The Rambam and the Ramban weren't aware that there are laws of nature, that this world is somewhat predetermined. Of course they were aware. But who makes the laws of nature work? And why do they exist? It is only because they're part of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's creation. He is the one that determined the laws of nature. And they work because he makes them work. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu could, in a split second, Rege Kemem, create a million different universes, solar systems. Each of them would have its own unique and different set of natural laws, a different set of physics, chemistry, biology. And he could create another million worlds that would be totally spontaneous, with no laws of nature. Total chaos, and everything would be spontaneous. Einoid melvadoi. Bal hayecholes v'bal hakochot kulam. Yes, there are laws of nature, but they exist because HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes them exist, and they work because he makes them work. Retzoinoi haposhut yizborach shemoi. Hu bore v'manek lekol abruim, v'hu levadoi asa v'ose v'yase lekol ha'asim, kol dvoreinu v'mekreinu v'im behem teva v'menhogoi shel olam. Nisim. And a Masechet Tanis, one of the many stories we learn about Reb Chanina ben Doisa. He was the Baal Moifes, Baal Maisa. The wonder worker, the miracle man. And his daughter wants to light candles. Probably it was that of Shabbos. And she comes to light near Shabbos. And the candles don't light. And suddenly she realizes it's not oil, it's vinegar. And she starts crying and she runs to his father, Abba. There's no oil at home. How would I light Neros? And he does a miracle. So usually we're inspired by the miracle. No, no, it's not the miracle that you need to appreciate. Reb Chanina ben Doisa made miracles every day. It is the simplicity of his language. And he tells his daughter, Biti ma ichpaslach. Why are you sad? Nothing happened. Everything will turn out fine. Everything will be okay. Misha omal Hashem en v'yadlek, yoim alachayim etz v'yadlek. But it's not the same, Abba. Oil is inflammable. Vinegar is not. And Reb Chanina ben Doisa says, Ma'ich Bazlach. My dear, lovely daughter, Ma'ich Bazlach. Why is oil inflammable and vinegar is not? Those are laws of nature. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, then right here and now in our home, vinegar will be inflammable as well. And that is what transpired. Because everything is B'yad Hashem. Things work because He makes them work. There are laws of nature, and the Rambam and the Ramban were very well aware that there are laws of nature. Enoid Malvadoi. There is no intrinsic power or force in the world besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it is with this ultimate wisdom, Chochma Elokis, He devised, He formulated all those laws of nature. And many times I tell Talmidim, it is only once a day that we define HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Noisa Natoiro. It is 100 times a day that we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Ho'olam, King of the Universe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Noisa Natoiro, and He is Melech Ho'olam. He gave us Torah. He gave us science as well. Science exists because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it. And that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these unbelievable supernatural miracles. Min hanisim hagedolim v'hamifursamim. Od hamoed benisim hanistorim sheheim yesod kol haTorah kulo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has His hand in the natural and in the supernatural. And to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are all the same. No difference at all. So we need to believe in Nisim HaNestorim. Shekol Dvoreinu v'mekreinu hem Nisim, Eim behem Teva v'men Hogoi Shel Olam. We should once again be zoichu to Nisim Gedolim v'mifrasamim. And as we read the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Ki yemeitzeischem me'eretz Mitzrayim, arenu niflois, bebi'az goel tzedek, b'mheiro v'yomeinu amen.
The shiur you've listened to was recorded and edited for you by Kol HaLashon. You're invited to continue listening at any time to all the shiurim and drushos in all topics by all the Rabbanim on Kol HaLashon.